Welcome back after a long break to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester, and with me, as always, is Akiva Wienerker. Akiva, it's been a long, long time since we've spoken.
We missed a week for the first time ever.
First time ever.
I think what was our streak at? Like 100
people asked me about it.
Oh, you got asked by four people?
Yeah, I was saying that's a very low number. You seem impressed by it.
Yeah, no, that's a lot of people. Listen, I mean, also, we don't, the thing, this podcast doesn't, like, release like my Seinfeld podcast does, which is the exact same time every week.
Set time, yeah.
So it's easy to, like, if we do one on Thursday and then another one, like, the next Monday, who knows, like, if it's been 10 days.
Yeah, but we've always done one every single week, at least, if not more. Obviously, in August, we do much more.
Never.
This is the first time we ever missed a week.
Yeah.
Blame
and last time.
Last week.
Probably not.
Yeah, I don't know. So, yeah, but we're back. It's hopefully we'll have this up before the NBA finals are over.
Do you know they say absence makes the heart grow fonder?
Yeah, not in this case.
No, for sure. I didn't miss you, really.
Yeah.
I thought, like, oh, I could probably never speak to him again. We'll be okay.
Yeah.
Like, don't you have friends who you were good friends with? You probably, like, maybe you went to, you know, we have a lot of friends. We each made a lot of friends separately in our gap year abroad in Israel or in college. And it's like, you're good friends with them, but they move somewhere or one of you gets married way earlier than the other one. And you still really like them, but you just never, maybe they're not like in your fantasy football league or you don't G-chat them. And you just lose touch, even though you kind of always liked the person. And it was, you would have actually probably liked to be in touch with them, but you're lazy or you didn't care or they didn't put in any effort. So
yeah, and it's actually interesting because, you know, I was choosing what neighborhood to move to.
Yeah.
And some of those people lived in some of those neighborhoods. And it was like people who I was like really close with at earlier points in my life. And I was like, well, if I move here, we'll become friends again.
Right.
But, you know, but I'm moving into a different place. So basically we'll become even, you know, even less of friends.
Right. You'll actually, now it's like this was your chance. But it's also awkward. Like there are people in my life who, let's say you were like best friends with someone, but you haven't, like there's people, I like added a guy on Twitter. Someone said, who's that? I posted a picture from a Super Bowl party when I was like 11.
And somebody's like, is that the one where you're wearing like the Chiefs jersey or something?
No, somebody else, I think. It's like someone's like, who's that guy? And I was gonna like write his name, or I was just gonna say like, oh, you don't know him. It's not the person you think it is. And then I searched him on Twitter and he was there. So like after not speaking to him for like 22 years, I tagged him. And 22 years I haven't spoken to him.
And
he didn't respond. And I tagged another guy who I hadn't spoken to in like 12 years, and he followed me. He's like, hey, what's up?
Basically, when you're an adult male, when you're outside of school or whatever, other than the people who live in your area, your building, your neighborhood, whatever, or people you know you work with, obviously, or people in like your fantasy leagues.
And live with
or fantasy sports.
The only way to make a new friend is to work with someone or to live like in their building or like next to their neighbor or something.
Yeah.
The only way to keep it, to stay in touch with someone is like fantasy sports.
Yeah.
You root for the same team, even if you're not in the same fantasy league. Like, I have friends who are Yankee fans who, if they were Mets fans, we would still be really close. You know what I mean? Because I could email about the Mets any day, but they're Yankee fans, so I'm just like, there's nothing to talk to them about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And they're Yankee fans, so they're probably like serial killers or bad people. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, probably. Most likely. Is Trump a Yankees fan? I mean, he doesn't really care about sports.
So I was talking, someone wrote an article on The Ringer, and it's shocking, it was horrible, and it was about Trump as a sports fan, and didn't even address whether he roots for any teams or not. It was just
he doesn't really. He roots for individuals, like, you know, he roots for the Patriots.
He roots for his friends. Like, if he's friends with one owner in each sport, like Robert Kraft, he probably roots for them. He likes golf. I don't know if he, like, he didn't fill out an NCAA bracket because he doesn't follow basketball.
Yeah. Well, first of all, he loves golf. He plays golf twice.
No, he loves golf. He like watches. He'll watch like non-major golf tournaments. I think it's a sign, like another sign that he's a sociopath. That he doesn't, and not just him, anybody who like sort of cares about sports but doesn't have any favorite teams. Like I think Chuck Klosterman's allowed to do that.
Have I ever told you this story? When I was in Yeshiva University, your alma mater, or perhaps actually I was in high school, but I went to the high school on the same campus.
Yes.
And we were watching, and I remember it was the Packers 49ers wild card game. It was that crazy, like the Terrell Owens catch.
T.O. game.
It was the same day where the Giants 49ers.
Owens, where he screams Owens 10 times. What a great ending, yeah.
So there was this guy, and I vividly remember what he looks like. Sort of the short, stocky guy with a thick beard.
Is he red hair?
Brown hair.
Oh, and not a redhead, because then I would think it's like Ari Mayefsky, because he was always in that room yelling.
And this is in Reuben Hall. You know
what
I think
year?
This was in like 99. Like
before, this is before we were there. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was there. It was before.
Before college people were there. Yeah,
and this was in Reuben Hall. I think they turned it into the workout room later, but it used to be like a TV room with like some.
Yeah,
like some
I was never in it because it was the workout room. I did not go once in 3 years.
So it used to be the TV room when we were, you know, in the late 90s. So we're watching the game, and I mean, this is like the thing that would happen in a commercial. This guy with a beard, like at some key point late in the fourth quarter, he claps really loudly and he says, "Let's go, sports!" But not to be like sarcastic, ironic, like enthusiastically.
That's amazing.
So I turned to
him. That would have been the highlight of my life.
Yeah. I turned to him and I said, "Are you a 49ers fan?" Like I was trying to figure out his fandom, and he's like, "No, I'm just a big fan of sports."
That's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
That's
in my
Justin
life.
Bieberish, actually. Justin Bieber
that's amazing.
This week.
Yeah. When I was watching the Jets. Which one was it? The Jets Colts AFC Championship game, the 2009 AFC Championship, which was in January 2010. We took the kids to Disney World. So we left the park. It was the first day we were there. My father stayed in the park because he's a super dad and super grandfather. He stayed in the park. My grandfather and I went to watch the game in a Disney hotel bar. And I could not sit because I was too nervous. And big games, I literally can't sit down. Couldn't physically sit. All 3 hours, 3.5 hours paced, you know, while I watched the Jets blow a 17-6 lead. And I was like shaking, and I was, you know, like an absolute physical mess, probably sweating puddles at the end. And the bartender came over to me and he's like, "Can I just ask you a question? Like, how much money did you have on this game?" And I was like, $0. Like, I just care so much. What do you mean? Like, he didn't believe me. He was like, he didn't understand that someone could, like, I don't know, like care about. So he was the opposite of the "I love sports." He hates all sports. He just thinks people gamble.
Yeah, so this guy I was making fun of, I don't know if this is his defense, but just as a statement of fact, he was from Los Angeles, which is why he didn't have a football team.
I was going to guess like some lame place in Jersey.
Yeah. Although now he has two football teams.
Yeah, which one do you think he likes? He probably loves like sports, you know? Like he loves
the Rams.
Yeah, I mean,
they're both such terrible teams.
But like, the Rams and the Chargers. He probably has like a split Rams-Chargers jersey.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Are you still in touch with him?
I'm sure. Our relationship blossomed from that one day. Yeah. All right. So what we're doing? Yeah. So the NBA. I'm depressed already about, first of all, how crappy the entire NBA playoffs have been. And
I see. Now, I can rest on my laurels. I'm not depressed because I know my team. Number one was at the very worst, the second best team in the NBA this year. That's clear. Right. I mean, we played one game at full strength with the Warriors. What are you arguing that the Spurs are not better than the Cavs?
I mean, there's no evidence to support that.
I mean, other than they had a better record, they beat them when they played them, and they were literally at full strength beating the Cavs by 25 points in Golden State, something they had already done once this year. I think they beat them by more than 25 the first time in Golden State.
LeBron has established the best player in the NBA, in the regular season, he's not trying.
The best player in the NBA.
Oh, my God. You're so annoying.
Sprained his ankle. And then their second best scorer also got hurt, and at that point, obviously, they were going to get killed. But I'm not saying the Spurs would have won, but the Spurs certainly could have won. They would have won Game 1. Like, the Warriors wouldn't be 16-0. They were up 25 and had all the momentum and were destroying the Warriors with 6 minutes left in the third quarter. The Warriors don't go on, like, the 80,000-0 run if Kawhi Leonard can just score at will, which he was doing, and can defend, you know, basically defend two guys at once.
You're right, because the Warriors never come back from massive deficits.
I'm not saying
games.
They don't, but they only won, again, the Spurs didn't have Kawhi, and they lost by three.
Yes, obviously, we would have liked to have seen Kawhi stay healthy, and we would have liked to have seen
they lost by three.
Finals,
Are you saying Kawhi wouldn't have been worth 4 points the last?
I would like, okay, the bottom line is this. The point is the NBA playoffs have sucked for whatever reason.
Beyond sucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now they're about to be over, and sports are going to be even worse. There's like no, you know.
Well, how is your baseball team doing? I literally don't know the Twins record.
They're in first place. They have the worst pitching in the American League for a change.
So it's not sustainable. They're first place.
Yeah, I mean
Byron Buxton. He's above .050 right now. His batting average.
Not much, but he's so good defensively. Yeah, I don't care.
A guy named Brandon Kintner has like 45 saves.
Yeah, but he's blown two saves in the last
week.
He's
got like a 12 ERA.
His ERA went from under one to over three in a couple of days. So that's not a good sign.
The Twins would be the worst team in the AL East. That's a hot take for you.
Yeah. Oh, by the way,
the worst run differential of any.
I had an actual hot take the other day, and my wife reacted the way that one reacts naturally when they hear a great hot take, and I realized I probably should have used this on our hot take off.
What was it?
I mean, it was Trump related. I don't know.
Can I give you two more hot takes from the hot take off that I regret not using? Number one, steak is trash. It's the most overrated food in the world. It's so hard to cut. It's so hard to chew. Why, when we go to like a fancy restaurant,
What are you getting? Like super well done, like burnt to a crisp?
No, it's hard to chew. It's easy to choke on. It's like a big choking food. Steak is a fine food. It shouldn't be the default option at a nice restaurant. Yeah, like I don't know. I like freaking like General Chow chicken better than steak.
Yeah, that's a bad take. But whatever, it's a hot take. Fine. What's the other hot take?
Yeah, so steak is bad. It's really late. It's three in the morning here. So I slipped on my other take. I forget it right now. But if it comes back to me, I'll.
So my hot take was in a way, and I qualified it by in a way. I understand not in most ways, but in a way, I said that Trump. I'd rather have Hitler as president than Trump.
All right, that's an idiotic take. I hope Jen kicked you in the balls.
No, and but in a way, what I'm saying is because like Trump is just like so deeply, deeply embarrassing. You know, like they're gonna look back in American history 10, 100, 500 years from now, and just you know,
I'm
just the level of embarrassment.
I'm genuinely puzzled by people who aren't ashamed of him every day. Like even if you agree with everything he says, let's just say like I just want the Republicans to win, and that's fine, and that's your side, and it doesn't matter because he's better than what Hillary would have been for me, and. And, like, doesn't matter. Like, he's our president, and get used to it. Okay, you know what? Fine. That's your opinion. You have to at least admit that he is an absolute moron. Like, you have to admit he's the dumbest person you've ever met in your life. Like, we're going to do a podcast. If people want us to do it, maybe we'll do it in 2 weeks. But, like, would person X be a better president than Donald Trump? Like, Lindsay Lohan. But, like, objectively, look at it and say, like, should we just do that instead of what we're going to do? Let's do that instead. We're going to do rank the 20 best NBA final. Winners of all time. Do you want to just do the Trump, the would X be better than Trump podcast? Is your call?
Whatever. It's 3 a.m. I'm deferring to you.
Let's do it. Let's just come up with a couple people. We're switching gears here. Objectively, Lindsay Lohan or Donald Trump?
So now, we're assuming for argument's sake that she's 35 years old, she's qualified constitutionally.
Everything is the same about her except she's eligible to be president.
Okay. Would she be a better president than Donald Trump?
And keep in mind, like, the economy hasn't tanked. Like, if you have money in the stock market, it's fine, right? It's so,
short-term, yeah.
Short-term,
hold on
it's
a
fine.
Second. Question. Lindsay Lohan, I don't know enough about her. Does she have a drug problem?
Good question. It's 50-50. Right now, she's well, like... she's
the one saving grace for Trump is that he's not addicted, I mean, to drugs or alcohol. Although you could also say this is like Nixon was an alcoholic.
He's addicted to TV, which my parents always said was worse.
Nixon was an alcoholic, and that was part of the problem. Mm-hmm. Although maybe this is an indictment of Trump because he's this bad sober.
Sober, you know? Like he's
maybe we need him drunk.
Sure.
Drunk Trump tweeting, by the way. Although his tweets already seem like he's drunk. So, all right. So Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan would have a similar problem to Trump that everyone thinks he's in the pocket of Russia. She literally is like buddies with Erdogan now. Like she's marrying a Turkish dude, and she's like in big Turkey's pocket. You know?
Yeah. But so is Trump though.
Now, if Lindsay Lohan won the presidency tomorrow,
literally convinced Trump to not attack ISIS in that using those Kurdish. And I'm going to sound ignorant because I forget the details, but using the Kurdish militia they were going to use because the Turkish were against it. And Flynn was literally on the payroll of Turkey at the time. Erdogan isn't actually paying Lindsay Lohan anything, is he?
I mean, who knows? I don't know. Yeah. I'm partial to Lindsay Lohan. She's from my neck of the woods. She's from where my mom was born, from Belmore, Merrick. The Long Islanders have to stick together. She's probably a Mets fan.
I don't think that we can say demonstrably that she would be worse than
Well,
Trump,
here's the problem.
I don't think
here's
we would
one
know
of
that
the
she
questions.
Would, be
would the stock market crash if Lindsay Lohan was elected president? I think it would.
Well, hold on a second. But when Trump first got elected, there was a lot of volatility early because people were so worried. But then
only
people
volatility
realized,
that first night.
Yeah, and but like I'm saying
George
so.
Soros
I don't think
made like
yeah. So I don't think there would be a. I don't think necessarily it'd be the same thing with Lindsay Lohan.
No, because I think even though you know Trump is incompetent, I think like it's fair to assume like he's just going to be in the pocket of Wall Street because they've used himself.
But
he
campaigned on literally 180 degrees the opposite of that.
Okay, but nobody
he campaigned
believes what
rapidly
he says.
Again.
Don't take him literally.
But his whole thing, his supporters claim that the reason they like him is because he is consistent in what he says. Now, I mean, he's completely.
By the way, nobody wants to hear about Trump. We realize that, right?
So why are we talking about it then?
Let's
go
do
back
the top
to the
20.
NBA.
All right, but let's quickly rapid fire: Lindsay Lohan or Trump?
I think it's a push.
Charlie Sheen or Trump?
Probably
now we have an
Charlie
addiction issue.
Well, so Charlie Chachin, yeah, he was.
I mean,
on
he
all
would
kinds
be winning.
Drugs. Yeah, remember he started hashtag winning as a thing.
Yeah, I mean, remember how like Trump. Famous Charlie Sheen was for like 3 months.
Yeah, it came and it went.
It was early Twitter, but it would have been like, you know, that was like blowing up Twitter. The winning yeah. and like See, he literally went on tour. Like he's not a band. He like rented yeah. out like big venues comedian, yeah. to do nothing and like yeah, got exactly. booed out of every building and like people just showed up the next night. Like, yeah. Jeff Rose saved it by, like, roasting people a couple times.
Yeah. yeah, so I guess Charlie Sheen, I mean, is he sober right now? Do we know the answer to that?
Hmm?
The thing is, it's. I think it's hard to do worse. Like, what could you actively be doing worse? So I'm not really sure what the answer is. I think this is probably another push to me.
Yeah. No, I think Trump would probably be better than Sheen. I feel like you could buy Sheen so, like, because Trump is a little richer than Sheen, like, it would be so easy to buy Sheen. Like, you could probably literally give him drugs.
But Trump, literally, all you do is, you don't have to give him money. You just compliment
right, you
him.
You just compliment him
your
once.
Side.
Yeah,
I mean, look how he reacted to Saudi Arabia, yeah. where they put his face on buildings. Look how he reacted to Europe.
Yeah. And in fairness, see. He, like, it looks like he didn't know that we had troops in Qatar, so.
Oh, yeah.
That's one for him.
yeah.
But I, to be honest, one last thing about Trump, and then let's talk about basketball. I think the most interesting thing I could possibly think of in the whole world is Trump being like in a sort of "Are you smarter than the third grader?" thing, where, like, the next
I wanted to answer basic questions. What is a Protestant? Do you know he's ostensibly a Presbyterian, and he asked in a meeting a couple weeks ago, "Are Presbyterians Christians?"
Yeah, no. By the way, that doesn't even impress me because we both know people who went to 20 years of Orthodox school who couldn't tell you like the second pasuk in the Torah. You know. So, by the way, do people know Megillah? Like the phrase "the whole Megillah"? Because I just use it on RHAP, and I realized like. Oh, people might not know what that is. I'm not
well,
sure.
So you are not watching Fargo, but Fargo last night had half of it was in Hebrew, and there was a long discussion of Rabbi Nachman from Uman,
mm-hmm.
and so I tweeted, I also wrote on Facebook where the crowd appreciated it more. I tweeted, I said, it's the frumest and Minnesota-ist show in television history,
mm-hmm.
and somebody responded and said, can you please say frumest on the podcast? So there, I've said it.
Frumest?
Yeah.
Why do they want you to say frumest?
I don't know. You gotta ask. Hold on. Let me see on Twitter.
It just means most Orthodox. If someone doesn't know what to
mean. Yeah. Frum is just a Yiddish way of saying religious. So frum is in a Jewish context. Who was it? Brandon Fitzpatrick. Let's see.
No, he doesn't know what frumist is. Wait. Hello. Yeah. I forget. What
oh, it was Friday Physical.
Oh, Michael Friday. By the way, his name is Michael Friday. That's
the guy's always
name.
Working out.
He's Michael Friday. He's working
out. I like
out.
What he sent us a video of himself working out while listening to our podcast.
Yeah, but his real name is Michael Friday. He sent it in. I don't think I'm doxing him here. I didn't know if he was Freddy Physical or Michael Friday, but
yeah,
okay. He sent me emails. He's Michael Friday. He was in the hot takeoff. He did well, but he didn't win.
Yeah. He gave me a couple good takes, but Rob didn't like him.
All right. Let's give me your top 20, because right now we are one game away from the Warriors winning. There's the Cavs aren't going to try in game 4. We both agree, right? They're going to lose.
Yeah, I mean,
35.
My prediction before the series was Golden State in 5.
Yeah, I had 4.
Which is what it should have been. I'm still not sure how the Warriors won last night.
Yeah, I just watched the highlights without knowing who won. Like there's a
Oh, you didn't watch
YouTube.
The game? It was an incredible game.
Playoffs.
It was a pure, but the Cavs were in control the whole game.
Yeah.
And then they just lost.
By the way, I should mention, I left my house tonight. I went to.
What?
Yeah, I went to.
Shehecheyanu, throwing in more Hebrew.
I went to an Israeli league playoff game, quarterfinals, winner makes. By the way, what do you think of this format? 8 teams make the playoffs, okay?
Yeah.
Best of 5 in the round of 8, the quarterfinals. Okay. The final 4 is 1 game each, best of 1.
Yeah, I know.
That's the European sense. Basketball also. That's like all of European basketball.
But it makes no sense.
But they also did it. Maccabi Tel Aviv won like 49 out of 50 championships. So they did it to try and get more flukes. And they're not good. Maccabi Tel Aviv is the 4 seed. They won.
Wait, they're not the dominant team in Israel right now? That's insane.
They had their worst year ever. They got knocked out of the EuroLeague right away.
Oh, really? Oh, that's too bad.
Their payroll is like $11 million. Every other team is 1 or 2.
Who are their high profile international guys?
They've got a guy, Devin Smith, as their best player. They don't have anybody right now. They stink.
Oh, too bad.
I mean, Hapoel Jerusalem.
Historically, they're a European power.
Power. They had their worst team ever.
Hapoel Jerusalem has Amari Stoudemire coming off the bench.
Well, he's not. He's on like a very strict minute requirement. It looks like he only plays like 12, 15 minutes. He had a few dunks tonight. So I went to the game. Let me tell you about it, because it was the best sporting environment probably I've ever been in. Like, the crowd sang for 2 hours straight. They stood. They were so into it. I thought, because I misread the Hebrew on the Ticketmaster form. Like, I thought we were sitting in the visitors seats. So I didn't, like, everyone wore red. I told my friends, I went with Morty Charnowitz, friend of the podcast, and Ari Gold, original creator of the podcast. And we went, and I told them not to wear red because I thought we'd get, like, batteries thrown at your head, because that's what happens in European sports when you're, like, go to... But
have you been to a basketball game in Israel before?
No. I mean, like...
Have you been to a soccer game in Israel?
Yeah, I've been to soccer. So, I thought... And I've been to American football. So, I thought
American sports are trash compared to European sports. The only thing that comes close is college.
College sports. College sports are just as good as...
Only in a few campuses, in a few situations.
Yeah, I know. I mean, college football, many campuses. College basketball, a few. I agree.
Yeah.
But anyway, it didn't really say guest. It was just, like, the guest side where they sit and where they, like, go into the tunnel. So we could have sat anywhere. But I don't know how these seats were available because it was almost sold out. We got fifth row, which was really fourth row, on the court. Incredible view. The atmosphere was amazing. We went and we got some Burger King beforehand or Burger Ranch, whatever it is. So I was very excited. I got a triple burger because I'm a pig. I got like you ever get a triple? Oh, man. It was great.
I don't think I've got a triple. I've got a double.
Yeah. It was extra four shekels. That's $1. Like, it was very exciting. So it was like, really? And I never go out.
Yeah, but
so,
what's that third piece of meat doing for you?
The worst question is like, how cheap is this meat that they're willing to give you a third burger for four? Like,
but I'm saying I'd rather throw on a fried egg or something. Yeah, like, give a different texture, different flavor.
I don't want their fried eggs. You know what I mean? I don't need to run to the stadium.
The thing is, Israel has, and I guess America also, though we don't take advantage of it.
You know, KFC's coming back. That was really the big news for me this week.
Well, I'm saying Israel has so many. I guess the equivalent would be like Shake Shacks in America, of the places like. Burgers Bar, for example, places that are like a little bit one step up from fast food.
Yeah,
they're chains that are
they're
like
very
a little
expensive,
bit
also.
But they're not that much more expensive than the Burger King, Burger Ranch, McDonald's, and they're so much better.
Right, but they're both too expensive. I'm saying
hold
compared
on,
to America,
a meal at Burgers Bar is what, like 40 shekels? That's like $12.
No, that's the burger at Burgers Bar is 40 shekel. 10, like divide by 4 if you don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Now really it's like 3.2 and I'm poor. But listen, all right, this is probably very boring for people, including people who know what we're talking about. But anyway, it was an amazing environment.
Yeah, you either know what we're talking about and you don't need the exposition, right, or you don't know what we're talking about.
Amari had a few dunks. He literally can't jump anymore other than like to dunk for a half a second. The crowd was amazing. Jerome Dyson.
Unless a gay man comes into the locker room. Hey-o.
I am.
Did he apologize for that, by the way?
I don't remember. I am a big UConn fan, so the best player on the court was Hope Old Jerusalem's Jerome Dyson, who was a very good UConn player. He played for the Hornets or maybe the Pelicans for a year, but he was really good. It's always fun seeing like guys you remember from college.
Sort of a stiff center?
Jerome Dyson is a shooting guard. He's like a shooting guard. If he was one inch taller, he'd be in the NBA for 10 years. No, stiff centers were like Travis Knight, Jake Voskal. Those are the guys. Those are the UConn guys.
Well, those are white guys, though.
Yeah, UConn used to have like a really legendary row of stiff white guy centers who played like 10 years in the NBA. Then they started becoming black guys who were stiffs, like Emeka Okafor and Jeff Adrian and all those guys.
Emeka Okafor was better than that. Emeka Okafor's reputation.
Very good player. Very good. Emeka Okafor averaged a double-double. He just got hurt.
Yeah, for his career. Yeah, he was a solid player.
Very good player. Maybe he was the number one pick. He shouldn't have been picked ahead of Dwight Howard, but really good player. He just he had injury problems.
By the way, that Dwight Howard, also a guy who historically does not get the credit that he's due.
All right, so why don't you give us the top 20 NBA final winners of all time? I'm curious to hear if the Warriors are 1 or 2 or 20 or...
Okay, all right, so we're doing... Okay, so we were going to start. We're going to rank all the NBA finalists since 1998. I could do that also.
So now, I thought people would find that interesting, but Chester's not really concerned with what you find interesting. He wants to do what he finds interesting and says,
all right,
screw the fans. That's what he usually says. That's
all right, so here's the top 20, the best 20 teams in NBA history. Mm-hmm. You have to have won the finals to qualify, although I will discuss where last year's Warriors would have been had they won.
Okay.
All right, so we'll go quickly. We'll start with 21, KG's number, Tim Duncan's number. The 2009 Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
That team, they were only, they
the
only managed
one
to
or
win.
The second one.
That was 2009. Remember, so the Celtics win in 2008, the first year of the big three there. 2009, the Celtics are much better. They're like 30-3, some absurd record. Then Garnett gets injured, misses the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because Garnett's injured and misses the playoffs, and because LeBron incomprehensibly tanks himself
in
his last year.
Yeah.
So the Magic end up in the finals, so the Lakers didn't have much of a challenge
there.
There's
just a couple years in the last 25 years where like a team that clearly should not be in the finals makes the finals, and that happens.
Yeah, so if Garnett's healthy,
you're not getting the finals losing teams. The best example ever is the, what's it, the 07 team, the Cavs, like that garbage Cavs team that gets swept by the Spurs.
Yeah, well, all like, those teams, every Eastern Conference finalist team, basically, between after Michael Jordan retired and until LeBron went to Miami.
But that's a really like bad team because the Spurs team that they lost to wasn't that deep. I mean, it had Parker, Duncan, and Ginobili in their prime, but like it wasn't that, you know, it wasn't that good of a team. And
but people
and they
made
were
a big deal this year about how it was the first time ever that you had the same teams facing each other 3 years in a row in the NBA Finals. That's never happened. It almost happened with the Lakers and Celtics in the 80s. It would have happened with the Lakers and Celtics in 08, 09, 10 because they met in 08, 10. They met in 10, and in 09, again, they would have if Garnett hadn't been injured.
Sure.
So the Lakers didn't have much of a challenge in the finals, but, you know, that was a pretty good team.
Did you cry when Garnett won his championship?
Yes.
Like Ray Bork style?
Everybody in America was crying out of laughter, I think, during his, you know, anything is possible.
Anything's possible.
And me and KG were crying out of joy.
Yes. Yeah.
I made so much fun growing up of the Ray Bork thing. Remember when Ray Bork went
to Colorado?
Of course.
Yeah, I literally just referenced it 2 seconds ago. You don't listen.
Oh. Okay. And I did the same thing. The time I lived in Boston, I lived in Boston for 3 years. In those 3 years, the Patriots not just won a Super Bowl, but went to multiple Super Bowls and went undefeated, and their best player was Randy Moss, former Viking.
Mm-hmm.
The Red Sox won the World Series. Their best player was David Ortiz, former Twin. The Celtics won the NBA Finals. Their best player was Kevin Garnett, former Timberwolf. And so I had to win, and then the Bruins also won, although that had nothing to do with Minnesota. I hated all the Boston teams with a passion, but I loved the Celtics because I love KG. So I did root for the Celtics. The fact that Paul Pierce got the NBA Finals MVP award was idiotic, but Tony Parker still won from Duncan once also.
Yeah.
You know, it's just dumb when they do these things. I mean, Andre Iguodala got it.
I mean, you could argue Duncan should have won five, right? You could definitely argue Kawhi didn't do anything the first few games of that series. You could argue Duncan maybe should have won the fifth title also, and he should have five NBA Finals.
Well, so as you know, or maybe you don't know, the idea of there being an NBA Finals MVP is stupid because you're basing it on four games.
It should be the playoffs MVP. I agree.
And I have,
it would actually add more to the trophy.
Yeah,
the
I give
MVP.
Tim Duncan four playoff MVPs in his career.
Well, do you give LeBron that year? Because that's fair.
The Spurs won in seven, but LeBron was better over the course of those playoffs. Duncan was part of the team at that point. Yeah,
it's crazy that Kawhi Leonard, like who now again in my opinion is the best player in the NBA, like 3 years before he was good, happened just like randomly won an NBA Finals MVP.
Yeah, but that's like Iguodala.
He'd never been an All Star.
Yeah. Well, that year he averaged I think 12-6 in the regular season.
They famously never called a play for him, and they should have. If they call that one play where Duncan misses the bunny, they win a sixth championship.
Yeah, and again, Duncan is clearly the best player on that team. Maybe Kawhi was a little bit better in the finals, but, you know.
He just couldn't get to the hole. Like, Kawhi scores it like it will on that play.
Yeah.
Where Duncan slaps the floor. Really one of the worst moments of my life, no doubt.
Okay, so that's number 21. Number 20 is the last appearance of your favorite team, the 1999 San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah. Jaren Jackson. Just rewatched the finals the other day.
They ripped through the playoffs. They went 15-2 in the playoffs. You know, in the regular season, they went 37-13 in that abbreviated season.
Sean Elliott is a really underrated player, I think.
Yeah, Sean Elliott was their fourth best player because they had Avery Johnson, who was sort of at the peak of his powers, such that they were. Yeah. David Robinson wasn't, you know, was his last. He put up 16-10.
He wasn't washed
up
yet. In '03, he was like Shaq those like last years.
It was clearly
on
Duncan's team, but David Robinson was still putting up like all star caliber.
But Duncan wasn't even like fully Duncan yet. Ability was amazing.
Came into the league basically fully dunking.
It's true, but he sort of learned a couple tricks every year for those first like 8 years.
Okay, yeah, that's true. But I mean, he put up 22-11 that year, so you know he was basically peak class dunking. All right, number 19.
I mean, imagine trying to score against Duncan Robinson. Like it was really insane.
It was very difficult. Yes.
I mean, the famous like.
But the problem with that team again is
Duncan.
They didn't have a challenger in the playoffs because you know the Knicks, the 8 seed, Knicks.
Although that wasn't a real 8 seed. If that's an 82-game season, that's like a 4 seed. They were like.
Well, hold on, but they were without Pat Riley, their best player. So
that's true.
You can say that they. Yeah. So anyways.
Sprewell, by the way, if you ever rewatch those finals, Sprewell is amazing in those finals. He's like he put up almost 40 in that last game. He literally gets blocked at the end of game 5. By Duncan Robinson and Will Perdue. Like, the Spurs decided to play the 3 7-footers, which is, like, insane now, where teams are trying to play zero.
Yeah.
Will Perdue is, like, the small forward, but it's just ridiculous.
All right, number 19, the 1989 Detroit Pistons. This was the best Pistons team. This is a team that, it's just, they didn't have a super-duper star, but they just had, you know, 7 or 8 stars. You know, Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars, Bill Laimbeer, Adrian Dantley, Dennis Rodman, who was just a defensive beast and wasn't crazy then. This team also went 15-2 in the playoffs, so they ripped through the playoffs. And this is the late 80s where, you know, doing that was pretty impressive, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number 18, the 1998 Chicago Bulls, the very last run of those Bulls. You know, Jordan and Pippen and Rodman sort of on their last legs. Tony Kukoc, probably their next best player after that. So there's so many Bulls involved. And this was a team, again, the Bulls, they were sort of challenged by the Pacers in the conference finals, if I recall. And then the Jazz, you know, obviously put up a decent fight, but famously the Bulls never even had to go to a seventh game in the NBA finals. All right, number 17 is the 2008 Boston Celtics, you know, the KG, Paul Pierce, Ray Allen team. They went 66-16 in the regular season, which is incredible. You know, only like six or seven teams have ever done that, I think. But they get a demerit because they lost 10 games in the playoffs. They even went to seven games in the first round against Atlanta, and it made no sense because their four wins, they won by like 35 points each. But for some reason, they couldn't close teams out, and so they get a slight demerit for that. You know, also probably their fifth best player was like a young Kendrick Perkins. You know, it was a big three and then a young Rondo and then a big drop after that. But that team, you know, 66 games, pretty impressive. All right, number 16 is the 1987 Lakers. This is by this point, Kareem is the third wheel. He's putting up 17-7. This is James Worthy at his peak. James Worthy is another guy, by the way, who stole an NBA Finals award that obviously belonged to Magic. Magic, obviously, the peak of his powers at this point. Byron Scott, by the way, was scoring. Byron Scott was basically a fourth option and was basically as good. I mean, obviously not as good a shooter, but overall similar to Klay Thompson.
Yeah,
now.
Some people call him the Sean Elliott of his time.
Yeah, and that he has two first names. Byron Scott, not as good. Well, actually, Byron Scott as a coach, he's gone like downhill in the last 10 years.
Byron Scott?
Like he was a much better coach.
It's crazy, like, if you're a good coach once, you get 5 gigs, basically, in the league.
Yeah, or like Alvin Gentry. There's a lot of these guys. But then for some reason, they get – some guys, Doc Rivers, was good in Orlando and then was good about – like, he was good in several different places. But then a lot of these guys are very good at one location and then terrible.
Well, I think the secret is, for the most part, if you have good players –
good players, yes,
good.
Exactly. All right, so that's the 87 Lakers. Number 15 – is the faux 83-76ers. Okay. They went 12-1 in the playoffs. They did lose one playoff game. Moses Malone put up a 25-15 that year. I believe he was the MVP. Dr. J put up 21-7-4. Mo Cheeks was one of the best defensive point guards we've ever seen and also put up 13-7. Mm-hmm. Andrew Toney scored 20 points a game off the bench. Bobby Jones was another fantastic defensive player. So Sixers number 15. Number 14... Mm-hmm. We're going old school. The 1965 Boston Celtics. The 65 Celtics. Bill Russell, Sam Jones.
Literally a team of like me, you, and three like clowns could beat that team right now.
Sam Jones scored 26 points a game that year.
Especially John if Havlicek. It was like them now. Like it was Sam Jones and Bill Russell now.
Yeah.
Actually, they'd probably beat us.
Yeah. All right. Number 13, I have the Warriors, the 2015 Warriors, the first year of this little run. Curry that year scored 23 points a game, so he didn't reach like the super duper powers that he reached the next 2 years when he won the MVP. And Draymond Green also wasn't as good as he became the next couple of years. He had 3.7 assists per game that year, whereas like, you know, a year later he was at like 7 or 8 assists a game. So those Warriors were still very good. They won 67 games and they pretty much cruised through the playoffs. Number 12 is the 91 Bulls. This is the first title for Jordan. They went 15-2 in the playoffs, so they really ripped their way through there. Jordan, you know, peak of his powers, obviously. Scottie Pippen, peak of his powers. Horace Grant, one of the most underrated players ever. Bill Cartwright, another underrated guy. B.J. Armstrong. So, you know, the 91 Bulls. Do you remember the 91 NBA Finals or no? Not really.
I was definitely, like, aware of the NBA when it was going on, but no, not much.
So that was, the finals against the Lakers was basically that for me.
I remember being in the room when the 1990 Finals are on, but I don't remember...
Oh.
Also,
the next
because
year,
of,
I remember know, be, vividly against the Blazers in '92. Yep, '91, I don't remember that.
I think I do, but a lot of it, a lot of most memories from when you're a kid are like reinforced by,
yeah,
like a lot of it is pictures. Like I tell my wife, like I have a great grandfather, and I have no idea.
We've
what
We've argued about
like.
This before. You have no recollections of anything.
No, nobody does because I have never. I don't see pictures of my great grandfather, so I don't know what he looked like.
It's just
and my wife
wrong.
Thinks she remembers, but it's fake memory. It's
okay, but I have memories of things that aren't photographed. So that you just have a bad.
But they're also fake memories.
No, they're not. They're specific memories. Like, I think I've told you this one before. When I was three, my dad picked me up from daycare. Yeah. It was on a Friday. We were walking from the building to the garage, and I had jelly beans. And my dad said to me, you know, our president likes jelly beans. That happened when I was three. And like 15 years later, I learned in some book or reading somewhere. That
Are you
Ronald
sure you
Reagan
weren't 18 when it happened? And
no.
Like then you were reading the book?
And I was reading a book when I was like 18, and I read that Ronald Reagan likes jelly beans. And I'm like, hey, wait a second. I know that. And then I'm like, oh, yeah. And then suddenly the memory flashed back to you. Oh, I know that because my dad told me when I was three, you know. And anyways. All right.
Let's go much faster here. Uncle Kiwi's got to go to sleep.
Okay. All right. Number 11, the 2000 Lakers. So I have a pet peeve. So Bill Simmons is always going on and on about the 2001 Lakers, who went 15-1 through the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But the 2001 Lakers were trash in the regular season.
Yeah.
Like, their SRS, which is sort of an advanced stat, is 3.74, which is, you know, not much above, you know, zero is average. Most NBA finalist teams are like 7, 8, 9. Mm-hmm. They won 56 games. They were lazy in the regular season. And you can't just judge on 16 games. You have to judge on a whole season. So the 2000 Lakers were actually better. They won 67 games in the regular season, so dramatically better. You know, peak Shaq, young Kobe. Shaq in our lifetime was more dominant than – it was like the closest thing to, you know, like Will Chamberlain or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Shaq mm-hmm. was so good in, like, 2000. I mean, it was like – it was a joke.
Yeah, no, we definitely – we the same way we'll – like, the NBA will absolutely dread, like, the day LeBron's not good anymore. It's like Shaq – it's almost hard to explain how cool Shaq was at first, you know?
Yeah, he was just so good. And the only problem with that team is, like, after Shaq and Kobe, what did they have? Like, Glenn Rice was their third option. He scored 60 points a game and just did nothing but camp out at the three-point
line.
Yeah,
I mean, some of those teams were – some of those like, 3 through 15s were real bad.
Yeah. All right. Now we're in the top 10. Number 10 is the 1960 Boston Celtics. I already said the 65 Celtics. The 60 Celtics is Bob Cousy, Bill Sharman, Frank Ramsey. I think their entire starting five was all-stars. Of course, there's only 8 teams in the league. Mm-hmm. But, you know, whatever. 1960, hard to judge. Number 9 is the 2013 Miami Heat. This was the best of the LeBron Heat teams. This is also, frankly, the best LeBron team we've ever seen.
This is a fraudulent team that obviously should not have won the championship.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, obviously you're bitter about the finals.
Bitter. They were in game 6. They're down, you know, if Popovich doesn't decide to take out, like, one of the best players in NBA history, yeah. who happens to be the best rebounder on the team, to get the rebound, then he gets the rebound instead of Danny Green slapping at it because he doesn't know how to catch a ball, and that's it. Spurs win that game by 7 or 8 points, and they're the champions. They have 6 rings.
Yep. All right. Okay, 1967 Philadelphia 76ers. At the time, they set the record.
Yeah, we got a lot of emails, by the way. People want to hear more about that team.
Yeah. Well, that team at the time had the greatest record in history, a record that would be broken by the Lakers 5 years later, and then obviously by the Bulls, what was it, 15, 20 years later, and then by the Warriors last year. But this team was just insanely stacked. Will Chamberlain put up 24, 24, and 8 that year, which is like a joke. And then, I mean, Chet Walker scored 19-8, Hal Greer 22-5, Billy Cunningham 19-7. I mean, that team was ridiculously stacked. And Wilt Chamberlain finally broke through and won a title. And Wilt's not done on this list, by the way. Mm-hmm. Number 7, I have the 92 Bulls. So the 92 Bulls, even better than the 91 Bulls. You know, Jordan was, you know, still Jordan, but Pippen took a big step forward from 91 to 92. Horace Grant also got a little bit better. B.J. Armstrong got a little bit older. But, you know, I think John Paxson's like their 5th best player. So
okay.
Drops off after that. But this is the next spot where if the Warriors had beaten the Cavs in Game 7 last year, mm-hmm. I would have put the Warriors here between 6 and 7. Even though they set the record in the regular season, I don't think they were the best team ever last year. You know, after their big three of Curry, Green, and Clay. I mean, we just see this year. You add Durant, and it makes them so dramatically better. All right. Number 6, I have more Bulls, the 97 Bulls. Mm. This is the year after 72-10, and they only went 69-13. You know, but, you know, what else do you have to say? Jordan, Pippen, Rodman.
Yep.
There's a lot of Bulls on this list. There's a lot of Jordan on this list. Number 5, the 1971 Milwaukee Bucks. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar comes to Milwaukee, or comes to the NBA. Oscar Robertson joins him from Cincinnati. And the Big O finally gets his title. You know, this team was, I mean, it was young Kareem. He put up 32-16 that year. Oscar wasn't, you know, as good as he still, but he was still, you know, an all-star. He put up 19-6-8, so he was still good. Bob Dandridge. All right. Number 4 is the 96 Bulls. The best Bulls, obviously. They went 72-10. So this is one of the teams that people say is, like, the greatest team of all time, obviously. To me, it's like, it's Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, and then, I guess, Tony Kukoc. But what do you have next? Like, who else is in their rotation? Like, Steve Kerr? Is on the floor, you know, in crunch time.
Yeah.
You can't be the greatest team of all time and have Steve Kerr or Luke Longley on the floor in crunch time.
I was a Bill Wennington guy myself.
Yeah. Yeah. So the 96 Bulls.
They used to refer to, like, Longley, Wennington, and whoever the third center was as, like, 18 fouls. That was, like, a big deal. They could give you 18 fouls. That was their value.
Yeah, but who do they need to foul, though?
No, I don't know. It didn't make any. Yeah. People didn't know anything about basketball back then, just FYI. Yeah.
All right. Number 3 is Bill Simmons' selection for the greatest team of all time, the 86 Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the best Celtics team. They won 67-15. Bird, peak Bird, peak Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish, still, you know, an all-star. Dennis Johnson, great on both sides. You know, Danny Ainge coming off the bench. Bill Walton, you know, cheering and not really doing much else. They were good, but there's two teams that are better than them. So number two is this year's Warriors. This year's Warriors only, quote-unquote, won 67 games in the regular season, which is the same as the 86 Celtics. But their advanced stats are actually better than last year's team. Their point differential was better. Mm-hmm. And they just went 16-0 through the playoffs. And yes, I'm assuming that they're going to win tomorrow night. But basically,
they won. You could write it down.
You took arguably the best team of all time, and then you added the second best player in the league in Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. It's like ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That's an original take that no one said before. Keep going.
Yeah, exactly. So I have this year's Warriors as the second greatest team in NBA history. And the best team in NBA history is the 1972 Los Angeles Lakers.
I thought you were going to go 03 Spurs, but keep going.
Yeah. I don't understand why people don't talk. Okay, so this team, they set the record for most wins all time. You know, they broke the Sixers record, and they set the record that Michael Jordan would break in 96. I just don't understand it.
Where do most people rank this team, Akiva?
Well, so part of the problem is that during the ABA era, the NBA and ABA were split in terms of where the talent was.
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't necessarily, you know, there was five or six great players who were busy stuck in the other league. Although that's really true more in the mid to late 70s, like 74, 75, 76, when Dr. J emerges. Like, the early ABA was one-off. Like, Rick Barry would come for a year or something like that, or Zelmo Beatty or whatever. So it wasn't exactly the same. But Jerry West, 26, 4, and 10. Will Chamberlain, 15 and 19. Gil Goodrich, 26 points a game as a third option. Mm-hmm. Happy Hairston put up 13 and 13, and he's like a fifth option on this team.
He has a great name. Happy Hairston.
Jim McMillan put up 19 and 7, and he's like the sixth or seventh option on this team. It's like ridiculous how deep this team was.
I like to call him J-Mac, but yeah.
Yeah, J-Mac and Double H. Well, actually, if your name is Happy, you don't need a nickname.
J-Mac, yeah.
I assume.
Remember J-Mac, the threes guy, the autistic threes guy? I love that guy. You don't remember him? Vaguely. Oh, my God.
He was like a high school kid. He was like the high school manager or something.
Yeah, he threes.
Yeah. So that's it. So the Lakers in 1972 were the greatest team of all time, but the this year's Warriors are second. It's just the difference is, like, they only go four deep. Like, after Durant, Curry, Draymond, and Clay, like, who's their next best player? Like, Andre Iguodala, who scores 7 points a game? And it's hard to compare to a team that had, like, five All-Stars.
Andre Iguodala was good 4 years ago. He's a really good player.
He was good on the Sixers.
Bro, I'm saying, like, he's not good anymore.
Yeah, I mean, he's good for what he does. But the point is, like, you know.
I'm a McAdoo guy. I think McAdoo's the fifth best player.
Yeah, He's good in limited minutes.
No, I don't know. I mean, JaVale's pretty good, honestly.
JaVale was very good in the first two rounds, and then he's sort of,
This isn't totally the series for him, but he's a good player.
Yeah, and also you can't give him too many opportunities because the more chances you give him, the more likely that he's going to screw up at some point.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, so that's a podcast.
Yeah, it's fun to do this again. Next week we got the states rankings from 50 to 1. Excited about it.
We're ranking the states. By the way, I'm going to complain about this next week. You have probably been to less states than any American I've ever known.
Yeah, email like write in or total. Tweet at us or email us and let us know how many states you've been to. If you're an American, I don't care how many states. Although it'll be funny if like a lot of Canadians have beat me, which I'm sure they have.
Yeah,
but
I'm sure a lot of like Scandinavians.
How many states?
Have beat me,
I sent you my states. I think 13 and 14 if I've ever been in Virginia, which I don't remember.
Yeah, that's a very small amount of states, especially for somebody from the Northeast, where all the states are like close to like you own three states on a daily basis.
How about this? Not only that, but I also once went to four baseball games in like 36 hours in 2 days, and knocked out two states that I've never been to before or since in those 36 hours, which is at Georgia for a Braves game and Texas for a Rangers game. Like all,
I've never been to the state of Texas.
You've never been to Texas.
Yeah. That's a big gap.
You know what was insane? You know Mark Zuckerberg zoned to all 50 states to meet people? He had never been to Texas till like 2 months ago, which seems insane, right?
Yeah, well, we'll see where I put Texas on my state rankings. We'll see how important it really is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we'll see where I put Minnesota. Texas. I should like trade you. And now you are moving to New Jersey, so I don't know if that's going to help New Jersey's ranking or hurt it. I'm not sure.
Yeah. New Jersey's ranking is pretty low.
You're a minivan driver who lives in New Jersey right now, or about.
Yeah, I had the weirdest experience. So literally,
officially a minivan owner?
Right before we started this podcast, I got the keys to the car, and I'm trying to see how much I should say on the podcast, but whatever, who cares?
I'm sure he listens, this guy.
Yeah. Instead of getting the car from a dealer, I went like some private guy who sort of gets cars wholesale and then whatever. It's like
a new car
business. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we had an agreement via text. And I show up to sign the lease document. Yeah. He delivers the car to your house, and I show up to sign the documents. And the amount down at closing on the document was $6,000, and the amount we agreed to was $1,900. So I asked about it. He said, "Yeah, you're only giving $1,900." I'm like, "Yeah, but this is a document between me and U.S. Bank that says $6,000." He said, "Yeah, don't worry about it. There's rebates and this, that, and the other thing." I'm like, "All right, but I need some kind of memorialization, some document. Like, I'm sorry to be a lawyer here, but I need a document that says that I only have to pay $1,900 so that they can't come to me later and say, oh, by the way, you owe us $4,100. And this guy's like, you know, most people just sign everything, don't even read it. I'm like, you know, I'm sorry for being a lawyer. Like, I'm going to sign something. So then he says to me, all right, we'll work it out later. And I didn't sign anything. And I said, well, do you want the car back? He's like, oh, I trust you. So I currently have the keys to the car, but I haven't paid anything. I haven't signed anything. So I do have a car technically, yes. A minivan.
Oh, what kind of minivan?
What am I advertising for now?
I mean, we don't do free ads on this podcast either, right?
But I got a free car, so maybe.
Did you really get a free car?
Well, I have a car. I haven't paid for it, so.
Oh, that's right. You haven't paid for it.
I don't know what else you call that. Yeah. It's a Chrysler Pacifica.
I mean, you have a car you haven't paid for, but I feel like this guy is happy to murder you if you don't pay for it. So.
Yeah, it's not just – so, like, he has literally all my documents. He has my Social Security number, obviously.
Did he come recommended from, like, people who have used him?
Well, so – okay, so now I'm really getting in hot water here. My wife has a friend –
I'm just trying to think who's going to – like, if he does kill you or, like, gets you in jail, who's going to take over the podcast?
My wife has a friend who's not the savviest necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
And she was referred to him by somebody else who is
even dumber.
No. Whose morality and ethics would make him eligible to serve in the Trump administration, which he supports.
Robbie? Okay.
No. Don't defame Robbie. Robbie does.
You know, I love Robbie. I'm excited for college football season. We're going to blow up college.
I don't question Robbie's morals or ethics. I don't question his politics.
No. I don't even question those. Let's go Trump.
So the recommendation got me a little bit nervous. And so I asked many of my friends, especially some of my friends who are in the same community as this guy and mm-hmm. would know him and know other people who engage in some such kind of, you know, similar businesses, and none of them had heard of him. So maybe a little worried. So I'm a little bit worried.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure what's going on. He gave me a car, so I have a car right now. I have a minivan. It's pure sex. If that van is a rock. Actually, you know what? If that van is a rock, and don't come a knocking, because it's probably I'm shaking in fear because my wife is yelling at me so hard about something. So...
I mean, you guys both drive, right? This isn't one of these Manhattan things where one of you has to learn how to drive.
My wife has never driven in Manhattan, basically. And you realize you're going to be having to do it, like, several times a week, so.
Oh, she's going to drive into work? I mean, she only works one day a week. Let's not give her any credit for that.
Yeah, but yes, she is planning on doing so.
She's going to end up making you drive her. I can't wait.
It's not just that. No, she's going to get a parking lot because she doesn't want to learn how to parallel park.
Oh, just make her teach her how to parallel park. My wife will teach her when we come into New York. My wife is truly...
Right, she just walked into the room, so now I have to stop talking about her.
My wife is truly the best parallel parker on Earth. Like, she could get in... We would squeeze in so many spots in Washington Heights.
Yeah, but your wife is better than you at literally every single thing.
No, but she's really good. I will
pay your wife $100 to teach my wife to parallel park.
My wife would, first of all, do it for free.
Extend the offer.
She doesn't believe in working. I wouldn't be able to say I'm the sole breadwinner then.
Okay, so in August, or whenever you people are in New York, I will welcome you to our new abode in New Jersey, and she can teach my wife how to parallel park.
Okay.
So the more expensive model of this vehicle is one of those cars that does, like, the self-parallel parking. There was actually a commercial for my car during the NBA Finals last night, and they show the car parallel parking by itself, but we didn't get that model. So my wife's going to have to use your wife to teach her.
We were really all over the map here.
Yeah, well, that's why I said this was...
What do we call this podcast? What's the name of it?
Back after 2 weeks.
Just say we're back. Bitches. No, don't say bitches.
We're back. We'll just fax. We're back with that number 45. All right, Akiva, I will talk to you probably next week, but hopefully longer than that.
Bye.
Bye.
But I want you to know that I was wrong. I know. I just want to say that I was wrong. I know. Oh, I want you to know that I was wrong. I know. I just wanna say that I was wrong. I know. It used to be so warm those days. I try not to remember. I got lost in the storm. My ways couldn't pull myself together.